KNS. It is Saturday, November 2nd. I'm your host, Bud Wiry, and you're in the shop. So we got a pretty big day ahead of us, guys. I'm going to start it off with just kind of tailing off of what we were talking about last week. You know, we had all that meeting stuff with the city council, and we had the misogynist mayor, Matt Gentry, as he was trying to dog city councilwoman, Sandra J. Sanowski. And, you know, we were diving into all that. Well, in the days since, you know, several days later, fashionably late as they usually are, the Lebanon Reporter actually came out and they did a article about the meeting. And in this article, you know, they covered how the city of Lebanon will soon control water, sewer, 4 miles outside the city. So they got that part about how the city was going to take control of that. But when it regards to Miss J. Sanowski, the councilwoman that misogynist Mayor Matt Gentry was dogging on, they literally, all they had to say was that nobody seconded her motion. And guys, that's literal insanity. Because if you get right down into it, nobody could second her motion because nobody was given the chance. Because he talked over her and then allowed another more loyal councilman to then put up a motion to pass the ordinance. And see, that's where the problem is, guys. I've long said that these local news stations that are almost in bed with the city governments are doing so much harm to our community because we're not getting any of the checks and balances. Because for any reasonable person to see it, and that's the great thing. So since all these videos have been posted all over the internet, everybody has now been able to see it for themselves. So when the Lebanon Reporter comes out with this openly dishonest portrayal of what happened, everybody now gets to see it. So everybody's seen the way he treated Miss J. Sanowski. Everybody's seen these things with their own eyes. So now when the Lebanon Reporter, days later, decide they're going to, you know, try to do a little CYA for old misogynist Mayor Matt Gentry, it doesn't go over. Because everybody can, and that's why these publications keep losing more and more trust in the community, because they're obviously biased. Because nobody could see, they didn't mention in their thing that there was nobody in there that supported it. I mean, these are things that are materially important to the story. And if you had any amount of journalistic integrity, they would mention it. But instead, they're acting like the community should just bow down. So when there's absolutely nobody, I mean, the way they were trying to paint all the members of this meeting was that, you know, they're talking over all these councilmen and, you know, they're being unruly. And the reality is, guys, there was nobody there that supported it. So when you have a whole packed house and nobody in this place wanted any part of it, and they had nobody anywhere that wanted to support it except for these government representatives, and the people are just supposed to be quiet, I guess. So you got a whole room full of people that are against something that they're just supposed to lay down while the government does this. And this is what the Lebanon Reporter supports. I mean, they're saying, kneel down, put the boot on your neck, and take it and like it. Because, yes, of course people are going to be getting visibly upset. There's a packed house of people that don't support this. This is area outside of the city's limits. And they're just taking something just because they're government and they claim they have the power to do so. And for the reporter to obviously just completely take the side of government there and stand against the people of the community that they're trying to sell newspapers to is ridiculous. And the fact that they just completely buried the misogyny of Mayor Matt Gentry as he singles out only the female on the board that was dissenting from his plan to sit there and criticize her and tell her how she ought to think and all the other. And there was a couple guys that ended up voting against, and he didn't challenge them once. It was only the female. The guys, this was open and obvious. But, you know, Lebanon Reporter sees that stuff as absolutely okay. So, you know, they're going with the standing that's the community that they want. So, you know, as for the Pinocchio of the week, I guess you're going to call it, the Lebanon Reporter once again gets an extra long one for almost completely painting a picture of an event almost backwards from the way it happened. I mean, it was really horrible. Good job, guys. So, and now running into another topic where the Lebanon Reporter has let the community down before. So, you guys, those that have been listening along remember me talking about the school board meeting where there was the young girl that spoke out against the transgender that the school was sending into their bathrooms and personal spaces. And at one of the meetings, and I actually happened to attend this meeting, the mother of that girl, Tasha Marshall, actually stood up and spoke to this council members and went through really the paces on them, because this council was taking the position pretty much that, oh, you know, there's nothing they could do about it. This is just the way it is. So, you know, just be quiet and take it sort of thing. But as this Miss Marshall continued to challenge them, she actually got them to admit that they had no formal policy. And while the president of the board had been sitting there claiming that they had these policies in place, like, she literally got them to admit, and almost to the shock of the school attorney, that they really had no policy in place. So going on forth, the reason why I bring that up is there's now a three-way race for one of the school board positions, and it is between Craig Parks, who's an incumbent who was on that do-nothing board that sent the transgender into the girls' spaces, Katie J.C. Anowski out of over there by Whitestown, and Tasha Marshall, who I just said that spoke at this event. So I've been kind of poking in on this whole deal, because a lot of the people, see, before I just had hunches about who Craig Parks was, because he was on that board, he didn't seem to be bothered by none of it, and he definitely wasn't talking or speaking against it, but I really had no basis of proof of where his loyalties lied in the deal. But now that he's running for the re-election, and I'm seeing the people that he's putting up as his representatives, and seeing who his supporters are, it's becoming very clear that a lot of the reason why he, you know, it appeared to me like he didn't have any problem with it, is because that's the stance of a lot of the people his supporters are. So he put up on his, you know, running for school board page, a local daycare owner that supports him. And I just happened to have a screenshot from that local daycare person asking why drags shouldn't be reading to children. See, and so then it's all starting to make sense to me. So I've taken the stance, and even what I would say that the Katie J.C. Anowski would be a definite improvement over Craig Parks, because Craig's obviously chosen ideology over the children once before, at least once. So she would, but having seen Tasha Marshall actually go 9 minutes with the school board and doing a really good job with it, I mean, that earns my support. And to be honest, guys, there was only three people in this community that came and spoke at this event that were standing up for him. One of them was Tasha Marshall. One of them appeared to be a young mother with a toddler on her hip. And yours truly right here that's talking to you right now are the only people that even came and showed up. I mean, there was people standing in attendance, but as far as people that actually stood up and talked to this board and tried to address this problem to protect these girls, there's only a small handful of them, and Tasha Marshall is one of them, so that gets my support there. So, and you could really tell when we were there that there may have been one of those school board members that seemed uncomfortable with it, you know, if I was just judging by the looks on their face and, you know, their appearance to it. But a lot of them seem to be plenty happy with just, you know, this is the way it is, including Mr. Fransden, who's the school's lawyer. He seemed very okay with it. The president, Mr. Millman, he seemed very okay with it. But, you know, obviously, you know, this person that's now running for the board feels very strongly about this sort of stuff. And that's what we need in the community, guys, because I was telling a lot of people, not very often do you get the chance to vote for a proven fighter, somebody that's proven that they will show up and fight for the kids, or proven that they will show up and fight for the cause when it counts. And right now, with this school board, those people have a chance to elect a proven fighter that has been there for the kids, and, you know, they'd be doing their own children a great disservice if they don't vote for them. So best of luck for that candidate. They definitely have my support, and I'm wishing them all the best. And moving from one candidate that we're liking to support to another one that we don't like to support, guys, I got something that I'm going to have to admit to you. As hard as this is to say, I think I'm going to vote for Mike Brown and Micah Beckwith. So you guys have known I donated to Rainwater early I like what he says. He has all this good stuff. And Mike Braun, I've said on this show, I've went into detail about he's connected to the Gentrys and the IDC and all that works. And how utterly disgusted I am by every last bit of it. And it actually even personally puts my home in threat. And for as much, but I did some soul searching over the last week, guys. And as it comes down tighter here, and I'm more worried that the rainwater vote will pull enough away from Braun that it'll put in Jennifer McCormick. It's because one of my other ones, so, you know, as much as I hate all this stuff that they're doing and how it's putting my home in threat, what the Democrats do by putting these adult sexualized performances in front of children and pushing that on them so hard, I find to be even a greater threat than my own home. So I came up with the decision after thinking on it long and hard, guys, and I really came down to, I guess if my decision is between my home and the kids of our community and around, then I guess I'm loading the trailer. And as much as I hate to say that, guys, I have put so much years and work into this place. I still can't think of getting a Democrat in office who's going to be okay with all this stuff going on. And guys, I do like the Micah Beckwith. I've talked to him. He doesn't like this stuff that Braun and Braun's allies are on board with right here. Personally, neither. I know he doesn't, but you know that's the train he's on. And I'm just going to find that we're going to have to find another way to fight. And me voting for him is not me giving up on that. That's just me and I'm going to have to push this ball down the field a little bit, because what's online for the other way is worse. And, you know, guys, this is getting awful disgusting. I have chose the lesser of two evils for a long time. But never in my life have I been put to this level of disgust where I literally had to choose between somebody attacking my home and attacking children. And I mean, guys, we're going to have to get this stuff fixed, because people shouldn't be put in a position where they have to sit there and literally be down to choosing between their own castle and their own morals. And I'm at a point now, just even looking at it from the outside, it's like, how far have we fallen to where this is what we're looking at? But I still believe everything can be fixed, all that stuff. We just got to work harder. We got to put it in. So That's my ultimate decision, guys. I'm sorry that I came up with it so late, but I'm going to vote for Braun, and I'm going to do my damnedest to try to figure out a way to continue to fight the stuff that's going on in our community, pushing that, and still try to get the most out of it. And, you know, with the Micah Beckwith, like I was saying, he is good, and there's a lot of good that comes with that, and we need the people. I mean, he's solid on all the social issues and all these other things, but we're going to keep pushing. We're going to find a way to get to him. But that's my ultimate decision. And for everybody else struggling with it, I understand what you come up with. If you absolutely can't vote for him, I understand every bit of that. I had a very good dear friend of mine come into the shop the other day, and he's like, you know, I'm right there with you, he said, but I couldn't do it. He said, I couldn't do it. I voted for Rainwater, and I didn't hold it against him one little bit. I absolutely understand that to my core. So, and maybe if the numbers were farther and they were different, maybe I would have still held with that, but as they tightened up and I really became very up close and looking at what my vote for Rainwater and knowing that it very likely was going to give us a Democrat, I couldn't do it, guys. So there's that. And, you know, we all know the 3 days between the biggest election. We all know what the big elephant in the room is, our national election between President Donald Trump and Vice President Kamala Harris. Now, guys, if you have not voted yet, get out there and do it. Everybody needs to get out there, because there's going to be a lot on the line this time, guys. You know, very possibly, in my view, a lot of what we could get into where you can't come back from. Because as the Democrats have kept pushing to secure more of a permanent power structure and hold on information. So, I mean, if they get another go at this, I mean, we very well might have a very hard time bringing this one back, guys. They flooded all this illegal immigrants in, and there isn't going to be swing states anymore, guys. It's going to be a cycle of Democrat control, and with the roads that they're going down, everybody really needs to see what that looks like. Now, I had considered whether I was going to take my time talking to you guys about the pros and the cons of, you know, Trump and Harris. But I think most of us really have a general idea of where that lies. So I thought a better use of my time would be to talk to everybody about some of the potentials that we could be looking at as this election, either way that it goes. Because, guys, I think if everybody is tense as it is, we're kind of sitting on a powder keg. And I've long said that, like, the Democrats have some subset other group that is almost like a standing mob that's ready to go. You know, if you deliver the bricks and the TV tells them to go, they go, and they've already proven themselves willing to do acts of violence and damage and destruction. And we've seen a whole summer of them burning communities down. Just all they need is hyped in the right way and given the right tools to do the job, and they'll go out and do things. But and even from the other side, because what I'm really worried about with this election coming up, and you've heard some other people talking about it, is I don't think anybody is going to believe whatever the results are. I mean, it doesn't matter which side you're on. I mean, so I'm looking at the news here, and so when you're seeing a bunch of irregularities already, that's got everybody's dander in a fluff right now. And so I'm seeing this powder keg building. And it is like right now they have they found 2,500 fraud voter registration applications in Lancaster County. In York County, there was an overabundance of voter registration from third parties, and it was suspected of fraud, and they're still going into that. But they seem pretty sure that it was some amount of fraud going on in that department. And then in Mesa County, Colorado, 12 stolen ballots. It's where they were stealing these ballots out of the mail, and they caught them submitting them stolen ballots out of the mail that then got filled out. And then over there in Michigan, that they were allowing a vote to count from an illegal Chinese national that got caught voting incorrectly and voting illegally, but they are still going to let it count. And I mean, that's insane. But and on top of that, we have 100 lawsuits across 7 battleground states already going. So, guys, what I'm getting at is when you're looking at this from across the board, who's going to look at this? And okay, so say Trump loses there in another hockey stick fashion thing in the middle of the night. I mean, we're going to have, is everybody going to be happy with accepting their new little taste of communism from Kamala? Knowing that it very possibly, like, you're seeing all these irregularities, and you know, we got fires and drop boxes. There's been fires and drop boxes in Portland, Oregon, Vancouver, Washington, Phoenix, Arizona. I mean, no matter which side. So if Trump wins, the left's going to say that all of that was fraudulent and it was due to cheating and this and that. And they are ready to be engaged on that. And then if Trump loses, you're going to have the right saying, look at all this stuff. We've been talking about it since 2020, and it keeps getting brought up. There's a lot of really good stuff that has a lot of standing. 2020 wasn't all legit. Don't let anybody lie to you and say it was. But we have more and more of that coming out. And if we do it again, and there's some of these big irregularities that we're seeing, and like this time, just like what we've seen in 2020, and if that comes out, is everybody going to be ready to accept that? And I mean, unfortunately, the hard answer is no, and that's a crazy time in our country, because I don't even know really where we go from there or where it comes back to. But I know that since there is a very real possibility of there being some amount of civil unrest or I mean, it could be so much as they block roadways or, you know, affect things like that. Who knows what's going to happen? But I just think all of you guys, I just want to say it because you're my people, that everybody really should consider at least having some basic set of supplies, you know, having enough water to drink, enough food just to go for a little short term. I mean, I am no prepper by any stretch of the imagination, but it's good to have a little bit of a plan just in case you're seeing something. I mean, for, you know, all kinds of emergency, we've seen with the national disasters this year and other years, how important it is to have supplies on hand. But we really could be seeing an instance where there could be some amount of dysfunction, and who knows where it all goes. So I just if I was going to take this time, we could keep going back and forth to the pros and cons of Donald Trump versus Kamala, but I think everybody really has a good idea of that at this point. So I thought the time was better served making sure you guys had everything you were going to need in case of a disaster hits. So I'm going to read off from FEMA here. This is the FEMA's basic disaster supplies kit, and this is probably a good place to start. So it says, to assemble your home kit, store items in airtight plastic bags and put your entire disaster supplies kit in one or two easy-to-carry containers, such as plastic bins or a duffel bag. A basic emergency supplies kit could include the following recommended items. Water, 1 gallon per person per day for at least 3 days for drinking and sanitation. Food, at least a 3-day supply of non-perishable food per individual. Battery-powered or hand-crank radio and NOAA weather radio with tone alert. Flashlight, a first aid kit, extra batteries, whistle, so you can signal for help, dust mask to help filter contaminated air, plastic sheeting and duct tape to shelter in place, moist towelettes, garbage bags, and plastic ties for personal sanitation, manual can opener for food, local maps, cell phone with chargers and a battery backup. And, you know, having some of that stuff, it makes sense to everybody to have these things on hand. And some extra items that they said were like cloth face coverings for everyone age 2 and above, soap, hand sanitizer, disinfecting wipes to disinfect surfaces, prescription medications, non-prescription medications such as pain relievers, anti-diarrhea medicine, and acids or laxatives, prescription eyeglasses and contact lens solution, infant formula bottles, diapers, wipes, diaper rash cream, pet food and extra water for your pet, cash or traveler's checks, important family documents such as copies of insurance policies, identification, bank account records saved electronically or in a waterproof portable container, sleeping bag or warm blanket for each person, complete change of clothing appropriate for your climate and sturdy shoes, fire extinguisher, matches, waterproof container, feminine hygiene supplies, a mess kit with paper cups, plates, paper towels, plastic utensils, paper and pencil, books, games, puzzles, activities if you got the kids. And I mean, I know it sounds like a lot when you're going through it, but to really have some of this stuff in place, because even a lot of it may be stuff that you have in your home, but if you haven't taken the time to kind of put it together into a kit to where you're ready to use it, I mean, you don't want to think that, oh, and you know, it sounds far out. And I know we're just going through an election. We're going to wake up the next day and we're going to deal with the consequences of it as they are. I don't want to get too far out down that rabbit hole. But you also do got to take into account, never forget, there are things in our ecosystem of our well-being that are pretty soft, you know, like the electrical grid and some of these things. And the reason why I think of it is because I remember reading the articles. I mean, these things have been attacked several times over the course of the years in almost trial runs. And if something like that happened, that would put us in a situation where these things that I'm talking about would become a lot more important very quickly. I mean, you got to thank everybody in town. If an area loses power, then is these water services or these sanitation systems, even in town, I mean, at least out here in the country, like, as long as I have water, my toilets will continue to flush because I'm on a septic. And I'll tell you guys something that I did, because storing water for a long time gets kind of difficult. You know, you either got to put a little chlorine in or you got to do something to keep the water from going stagnant. So it was actually a couple winters back, I got a big project and I actually drove my own driven well. So it, you know, it drives a sand point down into the ground, and around 25 feet, I got into a sand and gravel bearing layer of water, and it comes up and has a little stand and the old grandma style pump, and it's really good, and that helps me keep from having to store the water. And if you guys, you know, interested in something like that, if you come onto the shop's Facebook page, I can get into it a little deeper. It was a pretty impressive project. You know, I built a whole rig to drive this thing, and you know, there was a lot of research, a little bit of luck, and a lot of hard work, but at least now I don't have to store the water, and I can assure that my toilets are going to stay flushing if I'm in a pinch, because you know, it may not be the best system, but if you want to go out there and pump hard, you can get about a 5-gallon bucket in, you know, about as many minutes. So you know, and these things, like I said, taking a little bit of time to prepare for them ahead of time instead of having to be reactive. And, you know, that's the same thing I'm always constantly complaining about the government, is about how they're reactive instead of putting these things in place. That's like right now. I keep talking. We all keep seeing these layoffs. We all keep seeing these incredible housing prices. Do you guys, does anybody see the government doing anything proactive in any way that's going to thwart this, you know, big potential homeless crisis that I see on the horizon there? You don't. They're all just going about the same thing. You know, and I was just traveling down south last week, and something that I did see down there is I seen, like, people had other people, like four or five campers staying in their yard, like almost individuals running their own little mini campgrounds, you know. And I think we're going to see that sort of thing start heading up this way too, if our economy keeps tracking the way it is. Because, I mean, we keep seeing these layoffs, we keep seeing wages dip, and we keep seeing these ridiculously high housing prices as the shortages popped in. And, you know, all that shortage, like we've said before, there's a lot of reasons for it, all this illegal immigration, people pouring into our country. You can't bring 15 million people in. They have to have a place to stay. But, you know, just like always, guys, the government creates more problems than it solves. And just like on this preparedness, that's why I keep trying to, I'm trying to preach that to you guys a little bit right now. I had this little bit of time because we know in a pinch, we're not going to be able to count on the government to do it. You know, them people down south, they had a good, very firsthand look at that. And it's in all of us people, and it's in our community that we can actually make the difference to be prepared. So that way, if something happens in our area, we're ready for it, so that instead of having to count on others or, you know, getting ourselves in a bind, you know, within our own community, that we're ready to be able to stand up, to be able to help, to be able to provide for our family when needed. And, you know, when we see these little things, you know, some people may laugh and be like, ah, it's, you know, it's just an election. But, I mean, I see it as a lot more, guys. I see this as a powder keg, like I said. I see people in groups with what I don't believe are good intentions in any way. These people are fighting for control of the most powerful country in the world. So, and a lot of times when people are like, oh, they wouldn't do that, oh, they wouldn't do this, guys, you got to understand that the list of what somebody wouldn't do for control of the most powerful country in the world is pretty small. I mean, we see people do horrible things for freaking small money and little tiny bits of things. We're talking about control of the most powerful country in the world. And this is, people have been fighting for this country for a very long time. And, you know, when you hear me occasionally say about a communistic this or that, that stuff has been tried in our country for a long time. I mean, history is literally just in a continual cycle of repeating in itself. And if you watch it, it all becomes a lot more clear. And guys, that's what we're at right now. We are right now, this is our generation's time to fight off the same mindset that has attempted to poison generation after generation. And, you know, they're on a little better standing now. A lot of people aren't looking. A lot of people aren't paying attention. But, you know, we have these good things going. We've had, like, with Elon Musk and X and how hard he's pushing, and all of the different media sources now cracking the establishment media who's been supporting and trying to make all this stuff our new normal. But I'll tell you guys, it'll be today, tomorrow, the day after that, every time, guys. My bet is on the American people. My bet is that they're going to come out here and they're going to fight for their country, and everybody sees what's on the line. I think everybody can see, even the low information voter can see that that's a $400 cart of groceries. I think everybody can see that the prices of everything are outside of reasonable people's ability to pay. I think everybody can see that they were better off 4 years ago when Donald Trump was our president. And everybody can see that four more years of this and we won't have much of a country left. The world has been destabilizing. We've seen it in Ukraine. We've seen it over there with Israel, Iran. We've seen today North Korea was sending troops in through Russia to help fight Ukraine. This is the world destabilizing under the watch of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, and voting for more of the same would be disastrous. So get out there, guys. Take your friends. Take your family. Tell everybody to get out there, and let's bring this one home. See you guys next week.